Looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you? You will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor,
Doctor,
Mr. MD,
Doctor,
now can you tell me?
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. We're going to empower you because that's what we like to do here. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer Frank and I got a great show. We're going to be talking about this new research regarding migraine headaches. So we got some interesting stuff there. Also, we're going to be talking about some ancient resources that we didn't get to last time, and we'll see how much time we have for the rest of the stuff here on deck today, plus our quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi, your righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting up, you know, the folks in Houston, Texas, and of course, you know, with this new Irma coming along, we're going to be praying for everybody on Florida, on the coast, North Carolina, and up and down the eastern seaboard. So, you know, hit the knees, seek the Lord's face, and include that in your prayers. But I did bring devotional today, and today it's from Psalms 32, Genesis 3, and John 8, and it goes like this. In closeness to me, you are safe. In the intimacy of my presence, you are energized. No matter where you are in the world, you know you belong when you sense my nearness. Ever since the fall of man experienced that gaping emptiness that only my presence can fill, I designed you for close communication with your Creator. How I enjoyed walking in the garden with Adam and Eve before the evil one deceived them. So when you commune with me in the garden of your heart, both you and I are blessed. Together, we will push back the darkness, and I am the light of the world. That's right. You know, light and darkness can't coexist. So, you know, seek the Lord's face. May his hand be with you and keep evil from you, that I not grieve you. And mind time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker. Scientists think they found that area of the brain where schizophrenics are hallucinating with voices, voice hallucinations. Yeah, scientists, they say, pinpointed that part of the brain where voices torment schizophrenia sufferers. They've muted the voices, they say, with magnetic pulse treatment. So a third of the sufferers they treated with this magnetic pulse experienced significant relief. So they call this TMS, which is called transcranial magnetic stimulation. And according to the World Health Organization, schizophrenia affects more than 21 million people worldwide. Moving along the quacker. Anybody have a bird as a pet? Because birds are next in line as a most popular pet after cats and dogs. Yeah, you know, you would think the goldfish and the turtle would be in there somewhere. But no, it's dogs, cats, and then birds. If you got a bird, this is a special person that has to have one of these things. Because you got to know this, especially some of these parakeets, for instance, the macaws, and what are those white ones, Frank, with a little plume on their head? I can't think of the name of them right now. Well, anyway, parrots can get bored easily, and they can get anxious and nervous. And if they're upset, they pluck their feathers out, and then they look like, you know, a chicken ready to roast. But anyway, they tend to scream, they bite, they can be messy. But unlike goldfish, they can live about 60 years. You know, like your dog was 10, 12 years, 15 maybe. Parrots are 60. So they're a little fussy to take care of. They need about 10 to 12 hours of sleep each day. And if your bird gets sleep deprived, oh boy, it's going to be an awful day. So some owners are so distressed over what to do, they've turned to Xanax to give to their bird to chill their bird out. I can't believe they're doing that, but what they were doing. So if you got like a green winged macaw, you know, certain birds need space. They don't like to feel cramped. And so if you got a macaw, you need a cage as big as a queen mattress. Yeah. So they need about 47 inches because their wingspan is 47 inches. So they need to spread out. So birds on Xanax, who knew? Last but not least in the quack report, food preservatives, they say these chemical additives that you see in food preservatives, they think is causing the weight problem in Americans and other places like the UK. So the preservatives, these chemical additives they add to food for, you know, retaining its freshness and extending the shelf life, they say disrupts your metabolism and can lead to obesity. So investigators at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, California, said they tested the effects of these known chemicals because they're endocrine disruptors inside your body. So BHT is this fat-soluble preservative. They add it to foods and cosmetics. And it tends to keep down oxidization and things going bad. So it's a man-made chemical, common also in cookware, because the cookware can resist heat and grease and stains. And also TBT is a stabilizer that they use in plastic products. So anyway, the BHT was found to be the most harmful, according to the researchers. They said it disrupted the networks that prepared signaling of your hormones, rendering them ineffective, and it caused mitochondrial damage, resulting in a poor metabolism function. So they said, but if you combined other chemicals to the BHT, it made it even worse. So chemical damage also of young cells was implicated, especially with pregnant women and babies would be particularly vulnerable to these destructive hormone disrupting chemicals. So keep that in mind. Read your labels. Well, that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about this. Well, we're going to get to headaches and, you know, and of course, migraine headaches is in the mix here. We've talked about headaches before, but we got some new research we want to go over. But first, we want to hit some highlights, kind of refresh your memory. Because, you know, when I was growing up, I had a neighbor who would come over and she would get really bad headaches. And she would come over and talk to my mom about her headaches. And I can recall her saying certain things that would bring on her headaches. And each year she discovered something else, a new variable that seemed to be a suspicious element that would trigger a headache for her. But there's a growing number of people now that are developing headaches, and they can be very disabling. So we're going to take a look at some new research that's come up with regard to headaches and even certain types of stress factors. Okay. Well, statistically, we're told 1 in 6 people have recurrent headaches, accounting for about 45 million Americans. So of that, 8 million go to the doctor and get strong prescriptions to help combat their headache pain. So it's also estimated that headaches are responsible for 157 million lost man hours of work each year. So also estimated Americans spend $4 billion on these over-the-counter headache pain relievers each year. Now, a majority of headache sufferers will get some generic diagnosis regarding their headaches. They're going to be told by their doctor it's not due to an underlying problem. That's what they'll get as a diagnosis. And the rest may get a diagnosis that their headaches are due to an underlying cause, like a tumor, an infection, an ENT problem, which ear, nose, and throat related, or some other brain disease could be causing the headaches. And we also know that statistics harbor migraines. And not all, you know, headaches and patients are the same. So here's a quote from Dr. Alexander Miskop. He's a director of the New York Headache Center. He's also the author of the book, What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Migraines. He says, quote, "Doctors don't always know the reason for headaches," end of quote. Well, you know the types. You know, modern medicine describes the main types of headaches in which majority of people are aware of, you know, the tension headaches, the migraine cluster headaches, and the stress headaches. And medicine states that more females, about 88%, than males, which is around 69%, get headaches. And the average age for the onset of recurrent headaches is age of 12. So, and then, you know, we all know some of the major triggers, right? Different types of headaches have different triggers that will bring them on, but women will also have different triggers than men because of hormonal estrogen fluctuations, okay? So let's look at some of the common known triggers, and then we'll get to the less common. There's a category of food that can often trigger headaches, like chocolate's been known to trigger headaches, as well as red wine, aged cheese, like your blue cheese, beer, MSG additives, food enhancers, sauerkraut, which is a fermented type of product, and also processed meats. And, of course, your processed meats have MSG and BHT and all those elements that can give you a headache. Also, environmental things like temperature changes, smoke or dust or wood particles, animal dander, cold wind can even bring on a headache. Also, anxiety or stress, anything triggering in that area, as well as glare from all these blue screens from your TV, computers to phones and tablets. People don't realize that technology is the culprit. Also, noise. On-the-job noise, pounding away every day, all the time, or noise from, let's say, a refrigerator or another appliances that kind of run all the time, and that can bring on a headache, too, because you may not realize you're hearing it because it's so familiar, but it's there. Well, let's look at some less known triggers. Some less known triggers are weight, because new research is suggesting that if we're obese, if our body mass index is 30 plus, our risk of a headache increases by 35%. If we're into the severe obesity category, it increases the risk by 80%. Also on the list is personalities. Health experts are suggesting that individuals who have these personalities that are kind of rigid, reserved, or obsessive-compulsive in nature tend to be headache-prone. Also, sexual activity is a headache trigger, apparently. A survey of headache sufferers reported that a headache can be triggered after having sex. So they reported a dull pain begins during foreplay, and then a headache begins around the orgasm stage. It's also more common for men than for women to experience this trigger. Overexertion is on the list. So individuals who engage in intense or rigorous exercise workouts, you know, like joggers and weightlifters, they can often complain of a headache coming on because of their regimen they're doing. Routine break is also a culprit for some. Some people say that they experience a headache when there's a change or a break in their normal routine, and medical doctors call this letdown headache. All right, so Frank is being funny. He is saying he thinks it's funny that men get a headache after sex and women before. Cute, Frank. All right, also on the list is painting. Do you like to paint, you know, interior, your house, stain, anything? Because a lot of people don't realize that their headache is from breathing in paint or wood stain fumes, and medical doctors will tell their headache patients, you know, buy products that are odorless or with this low volatile compound in it. And some of your paints will say that, low volatile compounds. Also, if you're dehydrated, it could be a headache trigger. So you can be dehydrated but not feel thirsty, but your body's going to tell you that through a headache that you're dehydrated. So oddly enough, though, you can often relieve the headache pain not by drinking a glass of water, but by eating fruits and vegetables that contain water plus their minerals. So if you drink the water and you still got a headache, try eating an apple or peach or something. Fasting is on the list. If you're skipping meals or you're fasting for some other important reason, this can bring on a headache because it's the universal hunger trigger. That's what fasting, hunger, headache. There you go. All linked. Caffeine is also on the list. Excessive caffeine is a headache trigger. And if you are addicted, it's not recommended to go cold turkey, but to gradually reduce your caffeine. Inactivity. The Swedish study suggests that we can get more headaches when we don't exercise regularly. So just 30-minute workouts each day can prevent headaches because of improved blood flow to the brain. Also, sleep. So cutting short your number of hours that you sleep each night can bring on a headache. So if we get 6 hours or less of sleep, we increase our risk of getting headaches. And also, lastly on the list here of uncommon triggers is bone alignment. So chiropractors will tell you that if your bones are out of alignment, it can cause headaches, especially in the neck area. So your neck should have if you ever see an x-ray of your neck, it has this beautiful arc to it, like a banana. It's not straight up and down your neck. It's got this beautiful arc to it. So if you have an x-ray and your neck straight up and down, like your head's a big bowling ball on a pole, you probably got headaches. All right, let's look at some of the drugs that could be triggers. Prescription medications can actually cause headaches, such as if you're taking hormone replacement therapy drugs, either for, like, say, menopause or erectile dysfunction. Also, birth control pills or injections for birth control. Also, drug addiction treatments, as well as blood pressure medications and other cardiovascular drugs. Synthetic vitamins is on the list, as well as headache drugs, because you get this rebound effect where your headache is worse than when you started on the drug treatment. Also, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and or allergesics, as well as aspirin, acetaminophen is on there, your Tylenol products, hydrocortisone, and codeine, as well as anti-infection agents that are found in some medicines, digestion aids, you know, the over-the-counter stuff like Tagamet and Zantac, or a prescription for digestion, and pulmonary medications, either over-the-counter like Sudafed or for a prescription, as well as endocrine medicines and central nervous system medications like levodopa. So a lot of drugs out there can give you headaches. And if you're on the newsletter list, we have a hot link that you can check to see if your medication's on the list for being primed for a headache, so help you out there. If you don't know how to get on the newsletter list, well, you go to thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, and click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up for free. There's no subscription. This is email only, though, so you have to have email to get your newsletter. Also on triggers for headaches is some illegal drugs like cocaine. And also you might want to eat some foods that can kind of counteract a headache that you have coming on. So foods that are known to counteract a headache are spinach, tofu, oat bran, barley, fish or olive oil because of the omega-3s in it, white beans, and sunflower and pumpkin seeds. So maybe you can just carry some of those seeds around in your pocket or your purse and get a headache coming on, have one of those. And usually your seeds can have salt on them, so I bet you it's the magnesium that does it. Well, let's look at this new study. I mentioned it. When are you going to get to it? Well, here it is. A new study by the European College of Neuropsychopharmacology claims that some people with a certain gene have an increased risk of headaches, especially when they are under financial stress. So the researchers called the gene the clock gene because it was strongly related to the circadian rhythms. So according to their research, when people with the clock gene come under financial stress, they can develop migraine headaches. So the topic of headaches is kind of a complex one, and science has been trying to pinpoint which genes or other biological factors are responsible for influencing the central nervous system and resulting in headaches. So the research team suggests that the clock gene is highly influenced by factors like light and other environmental changes. So the odd correlation was that the gene was also influenced by other variants, such as those experiencing financial stress, increasing their risk of headache by about 20%. So they think that when a person experiences this financial stress, it releases a specific protein, which influences the body clock mechanisms and other variants that impair function and create the headache. Now, the researchers think this gene variation may affect about a third of the population. So their research was published in the September 2017 issue of Science Daily. Now here is a quote from Daniel Baska, Semmelweis University of Budapest. He says, "There is no single cause for headaches, such as with migraine headaches. This work suggests that those experiencing financial hardship influence genetics in certain individuals with a particular gene variant causing headaches. We're looking at other circadian gene variants in association with different stress factors to see if there is a cause and effect for headache." Well, what about nutrients, you know, nutrient elements? Because while scientists look for genes as the cause for headaches, others are looking at nutritional deficiencies that can be the culprit. Now, a process of elimination in which, you know, which nutrient is that you're lacking, well, usually that's conducted by your naturopaths. So a typical place to start is with your deficiencies in things like magnesium, folate, vitamin B, the B vitamins, because your nervous system relies on B vitamins. So headache sufferers typically don't eat enough foods that contain a lot of these nutrients, such as green leafy vegetables, legumes and beans, nuts and seeds, whole grains, and omega-3 fatty acids. Now, Gary Null, he's a PhD. He's also the author of Reboot Your Brain. He states that nutrients and foods and herbs have properties that are gentler and effective at dealing with headaches without the side effects of drugs. So some of the herbs that he listed were ginkgo biloba because he says it offers cerebral circulation properties and improves oxygen flow to the brain. Feverfew herb because it's anti-inflammatory and pain-relieving action, and he says it's excellent for migraines. And valerian root, he says, works as a mild relaxant and also lowers blood pressure. And he has white willow bark because it's a natural alternative to aspirin for the headache pain. Well, you know, if you're going to use anything supplement-wise, make sure it's whole food because, you know, getting the right nutrients these days can be a challenge. So it's almost a necessity to supplement, but you want to make sure that you're getting whole food supplements and you want to avoid synthetic isolated chemicals. Now, Apothecary Herbs does offer several options for dealing with headaches, such as their stress, tension, and migraine formulas that contain many of the herbs Dr. Null just listed. So they also offer that sun-dried Celtic salt, which is your microminerals, 84 of them, to help support nervous system and also doesn't promote hypertension. It has that natural magnesium that the brain needs. They also have the white willow bark, but it's called pain anti-inflammatory formula. They have that in regular extra strength. And they do have valerian root tincture as well as brain concentrate with the ginkgo biloba. They have ginger root because sometimes you get nauseated when you have a headache. And also the Body Foundation food mix because that's packed full of minerals and vitamins and amino acids and proteins, for all from plants. And you can just throw it in a smoothie or a glass of juice, and you're covered for the day. So, you know, if you want to order, call Apothecary Herbs or request a free product catalog. You can give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International is 704-885. This is 0277. That's 704-885-0277. Or go to their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. So check it out. Get a catalog. Get empowered. Take the power back. Get off those drugs because they cause weakness and they'll give you a rebound effect, and you don't want that. No. I think a lot of people are trying to get off drugs because, you know, what if they can't get them? What if their supply is disrupted? So then what do you do? Well, you better have a backup plan. Better have one. Yep, and use whole food ones if you got a backup with long shelf life. Long shelf life is going to be the key. So check it out at thepowerherbs.com. Get empowered. Oh, I can see by the clock we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some ancient resources. What do the ancients know that we didn't? They're smart. I mean, they invented glass, metallurgy. They invented all kinds of stuff. They even knew about natural medicines. More than what we tend to know these days, because we're relying on toxic drugs and thinking we're going to get better on that. Be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Being proactive about improving your health can seem like a big job. I'm Herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I'd like to share my health secrets to better health. The first step is to remove metabolic blockages caused by toxins. Next is to infuse organic whole food nutrients to help repair and replenish organ function. You'll be amazed at how simple and effective this is when using my professional strength, herbal organ cleanses, and Body Foundation food mix. To order or for a free product catalog, call Apothecary Herbs now, 866-229-3663, online, thepowerherbs.com, Call now to order my organ cleanses and body food mix and be empowered. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Go green. Herb Talk Live, green. Now, with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Okay, we're back here on Herb Talk. Thank you, Frank. I'm not asleep. I'm ready. All right, we're going to talk about some ancient resources. Scientists, researchers, they've kind of been turning to a lot of ancient medical textbooks, especially the ones in herbal medicines. Even the folk remedies, they're digging in there. They want to find something they can grab onto so they can make some new drugs out of them. So science prefers to take herbs and then turn them into individual derivatives and make their, science-based medicine, also known as your prescription meds. Now, in Asian countries, about 80% of the population there uses herbs for medicine. For instance, in China, scientists are turning to the herb compounds, which now make up about 40% of the Chinese pharmaceutical market. And the Chinese government spends $1 billion every year in traditional medicine research. Now, roughly 70 hospitals in China, 15% of the hospitals in China, use herbal medicines to treat their patients, while the rest of the hospitals use Western medicine. Now, the West really doesn't embrace China's herb treatments. They don't care about that. They don't like those products due largely to they say, the concern on, you know, equality and so forth. So the European Union makes it basically illegal to sell traditional Chinese herbal treatments, which are not registered with the European Union Traditional Herbal Medicine Registration Network. So as China kind of wrestles with improving their quality standards, other countries are keeping their ear to the ground on what healing miracles may be discovered in herbs. Well, the thing is, you know, once they discover something, what are they going to do? They're going to change it. Yeah, but they have to. They're going to patent it and charge you, you know, 50 times more than what you would pay getting it out of the herb if you just had the herb. Now, what scientists and pharmaceutical companies and researchers are discovering is that herbs have multiple compounds that make up what the herb action is, and it makes it very difficult to isolate compounds individually to find out which compound performs a specific task, because a lot of them have synergistic action. They need each other to work. So an ancient herb formula of just two herbs can present a molecule complex situation. Now, when scientists are doing, they're discovering that herbs have a lot of ingredients, many ingredients in themselves, and this makes for hundreds and hundreds of compounds. So they're going to be looking at it a long time. In order to expedite this process, what Chinese researchers have done is they've constructed a computer algorithm to screen large collections of herb compounds out of, let's say, an herbal extract, and try to isolate a pure compound, which they can track to see what hundreds of molecules and cell lines it has. So the problem they face is if they focus tightly on an individual compound, they tend to miss the big picture. So compounds can have this synergistic effect when they are paired together with other compounds, and separation of these compounds can produce different effects. Now, modern medicine does the same thing when they, you know, treat specific areas of the body, you know, that may have a disease instead of the entire system. Well, so this is what they have so far. What the scientists and doctors in China have been doing is looking at herbs that improve digestion to see if they can be used to relieve the side effects, let's say, of chemotherapy. Now, perhaps they should look at herbs that tend to destroy cancer and skip the chemo. What do you think? However, real cures cannot justify the cost medicine demands to keep operating. So researchers in China receive funding from National Institutes of Health and the United States to develop this experimental drug for the purpose of making chemotherapy tolerable. So in order to patent an herb compound, they have to isolate it. They have to alter it. It can't be what nature provides. It can't be in that original state. So this is how they operate. This is how they strain out the gnat and swallow a camel. Yep. Okay, so let's look at this quote from Carl Wachtung Chisholm. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's a neurobiologist with Life Science Division of Hong Kong University. He says there are around 100,000 herbal formulas going back 2,000 years that can be used to treat a range of illnesses, from depression to insomnia, to osteoporosis. Traditional herbal medicine is a human treasure, and it should be shared with the world. Well, okay. Share some herbs. Stop regulating and with, you know, keeping them from people. But what they mean by that is let us strain out, let us purify, let us identify, and let us charge you 100 times more than what you would normally get the herb for in nature. That's what they mean. All right, let's look at this ancient shipwreck. In 2002, a shipwreck off the coast of Tuscany, Italy, revealed some interesting secrets. Artifacts that were recovered were about 2,000 years old and were medicinal in nature, such as they had a mortar and pestle, they had a bleeding cup, and they had some surgical instruments, and they also found some supplements. Basically, they found these green tablets. So these were the only known medicinal samples so far that were intact that they could study in antiquity. So the Department of Antiquities in Italy released a sample of tablets so they could be analyzed. by geneticist Dr. Robert Fleschner from the Smithsonian Center for Conservative and Evolutionary Genetics. And everyone wanted to know, you know, what was in the green pills? What kind of ancient supplement do we have here? Well, what a scientific test showed was that the plant's DNA was degraded. However, the plant fibers were well preserved. So they extracted what DNA they could from the samples of these green tablets, and they compared those DNAs listed in the GenBank. It's a genetic database that is operated by the National Institutes of Health. So they just, you know, checked it out. So what they found were traces of carrot, parsley, alfalfa, celery, wild onion, radish, yarrow herb, hibiscus, and sunflower. So the tablet was held together with a little bit of clay, and researchers then cross-referenced the ingredients with ancient Greek texts to see what, you know, the Hippocratic collection of herbs would say, especially if Hippocrates used any of this stuff. So they concluded that this ancient supplement was used to relieve digestive disorders, which sailors were known to have. And there is some speculation that the tablets would also have been dissolved in liquid to drink. So they may have dropped it in a glass of wine or water or a little water and vinegar. Now, they can also recover more ancient medicinal artifacts, and they hope that it will offer some more clues as to how these ancient physicians worked and how the trade routes influenced plant-based healthcare. I like that. Plant-based healthcare. Hey, Frank, write that down. We're going to use that. I mean, it just rolls right off the tongue, and it says what it is, and I kind of like it. Plant-based healthcare. I don't know, maybe a T-shirt in there somewhere. Coffee mug. Okay, bumper sticker. At least a bumper sticker. Okay. Well, what happened before the Greek physicians? Well, before the Greeks became known for their healing knowledge, there were the Egyptians. Homer of 800 BC wrote in the Odyssey that the Egyptian physicians were extremely skilled. They had cunning skill as physicians. And than any other culture, apparently. And much of what is known about the Egyptian physicians, their healing arts, you know, tend to be through later reports in antiquity. So very few Egyptian texts on healthcare have been found. Now, it is known that famous Greek healers like Galen and Hippocrates studied at the temple of Amotep, and their writings acknowledge the Egyptian medicine as being a great contributor. Now, the Rosetta Stone of 1822 shed a little light on Egyptian hieroglyphics and some medical treatments written on papyrus. Now, some of these texts were instructions for Egyptian doctors to perform things like surgery. Other texts wrote about formulas for prescriptions, how to diagnose a disease, or set broken bones. And also, others were medical reports that were thought to be about tumors. So a majority of their healing arts included ailments made, they had products from animals, they had minerals, vegetables, fruits. So they had a lot of mixtures and recipes in the ancient world of healing arts also included, of course, spells and alchemy, most notably attributed to an Egyptian priest, architect, and physician called Imhotep. So he wrote about trauma cases, he did, falling off a horse or a chariot with the notion that it would cause injuries and some could be fatal. And it was believed that the boy king, Tut, fell from his chariot and he broke his leg, maybe in a compound fracture, according to X-raying the remains. The MRI scans suggest that the wound was quite severe, with the bone protruding out of the skin, and most likely he died from blood poisoning, sepsis. So the Egyptians seemed very interested in, of course, the brain, and they developed these cranial sutures, and they were able to analyze spinal fluids and all kinds of things. So medical scholars feel that the health treatments provided by ancient Egyptian physicians surpassed the medical skill that Hippocrates had, and he lived 1,000 years later. So magic was really not the only medicinal mode of the ancient world. As the texts have pointed out, they actually had some very good observations and examinations and surgeries of their day. Actually, I think some of the surgical equipment today is designed. It was designed after what some of the tools the Egyptians used, so still in use today. Well, and the medical hierarchy in the ancient Egyptian was as follows. You'd have the chief medical officer, you'd have the superintendents and the inspectors, and then the physicians. So it appears that the coroner, the medical examiner, was the top man in the ancient Egyptian world, followed by detectives and law enforcement, and then physicians were at the kind of the end of the totem pole. So this was a culture that was obsessed with the afterlife, and it makes sense that the guy that sends the body to be mummified would be the pretty important guy. And by the way, the name of the Egyptian physician in the ancient world was Wabu, and it was first recorded by a female physician in Egypt, Lady Pesahet, 2400 BC. So in the ancient Egypt, a proctologist was known as the shepherd of the anus. You know, I mean, okay. But they had female physicians too, which was quite forward thinking there. So the Egyptians kind of forged this path with a long history of medicine. So it wasn't just all about, you know, spells and incantations, which some people think it was. And they are really the first to discover that the heart was involved with blood pressure and that it supplied blood throughout the body. They were the first to discover vascular medicine. Mm. And they were also knowledgeable about renal function, your kidneys. And when the kidneys got diseased or started to fail, they were knowledgeable about that. So mental health was also, they wrote about that a lot. And they also were good at treating depression and dementia. So they were also fertility specialists. They had dentists and ophthalmologists, you know, eye doctors, oncologists. They had specialties. And some of the entries in their ancient writings, kind of fascinating, entertaining even. One went like this. It said, half an onion and a froth of beer was considered a delightful remedy against death. Okay, onion and beer. All righty. Well, now, the Egyptians had their own version of syrup ipecac, you know, that stuff they give you so you throw up if they think you were poisoned by something. You know, if they need to empty the stomach, they give you syrup ipecac. So they had Egyptians had syrup ipecac, and their treatments, they had treatments to remove parasites, which are still used today. Think about that. The Egyptians used many herbs and spices as their medicine and included cumin, fenugreek, and coriander as some of their standard herbs. It was staple herbal medicine. The ancient texts listed some herbs and their health benefits, like sesame seeds, they say, soothes asthma symptoms. You've tried sesame seeds? Also, they said mustard relieves chest pains. Well, you know, mustard paste on the chest, you know, helps people breathe and all that stuff. We knew about that. Then they also said, where am I? Oh, mint helps digestion, which we know that because you get a after dinner mint help you with digestion. Turmeric will help close wounds that are not wanting to close. Turmeric. And poppy, of course, for headaches and insomnia. And use onion for colds and heart problems. Well, I can see that. And the American medical physicians today actually practice some of these ancient healing arts, including some alchemy, by the way. Alchemy was practiced with the supernatural incantations using metals and crystals and amulets. It was anything but scientific. So from the ancient culture of witchcraft, which we get the alchemy, we also now have vaccines, which have heavy metals in it, which is alchemy, dangerous ingredients, heavy metals like mercury. So if you chase back the history of medicine, it goes all the way back to Babylon. And actually, pharmakia means witchcraft. That's what it means. Now, Dr. Anthony Morris, former head of the FDA's vaccine division of 1976, confirmed that there's no scientific evidence to support the claims that vaccine therapy actually has benefit. So there you go. Well, the ancient world of physicians had some strength, and it had some weaknesses too, just like medicine does today. And Egyptian physicians excelled in the areas of trauma and surgery, but they turned to less effective treatments with regards to prevention. So kind of similar to what we got today. We can learn from the past mistakes and strengthen our bodies so we can be healthier, have better lifestyles, take the power back. So we want to be proactive, and we want to be proactive in the prevention area. And it's so easy to do it. It's really not rocket science. It's, you know, trusting what God tells you, and it's not witchcraft at all. He says herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and he can't lie. So there's medicinal power in his plants. They have strength, he says, and power and nutritional elements that you just don't want to do without. And so I've seen it over and over again. When you get the right herb and the right potency, you can do wonders with it. You can actually turn a whole situation around. So, and if you want to learn that power, and it's not that hard, it's not that hard. Well, I mean, if you learn to tie your shoe and to brush your teeth and all your grooming regimens, if you learn that, you can learn herbal medicine as prevention. It's not hard at all. All right, so we got a few minutes, and we touched on the ancient stuff. So we're going to look at some disease deflectors because, you know, we're coming into fall really quick here. And so we want to be as healthy as we can through those cold winter months. You know, and overseas in the spring, especially over there, they have these months that are named after foods and herbs, like they have a month that's dedicated to cabbage. Now, scientific experts are saying that if we eat more fruits and vegetables like cabbage, we're going to have higher flavonoids. And when we have higher flavonoids, we actually reduce the likelihood of getting sick or any serious disease. So flavonoid nutrition reduces your risk of developing things like asthma, dermatitis, candida infections, cataracts, diabetes, gout, macular degeneration, migraine headaches, periodontal disease, ulcers, varicose veins. I mean, it's a pretty long list. And those are pretty common everyday problems people have. And who knew you could probably fix it with some Brussels sprouts and cabbage, right? Well, when we're looking to food sources for more of those flavanols, they can be in pigment type of fruits, you know. So it could be in the white, the green, the colored fruits, depending on the food source. So there are like 6,000 different substances that you can find in your plants. And flavanols were discovered in 1938 by Hungarian scientist Albert Gyorgy. I guess I pronounced that right. He called the substance vitamin P, like in Paul. So we're going to take a look at it. So according to Gyorgy, his research on flavanols, these complicated compounds have these varying chemical groups depending on your food source. So sometimes the flavanols are named after the plant they're from, ginkgo, from the ginkgo tree. Now, quercetin flavanols are mostly found in vegetables and fruits. So what foods do flavanols should you have that will protect your health? Well, according to the world's healthiest foods.org, they, if you get flavanol type foods, they prevent a rupture or a leaking of your blood vessels. They prevent a lot of inflammation. They protect your cells from oxygen damage, while they magnify the benefits of the nutrients you're taking in, like your vitamin C, for instance. Now, according to Dr. Ray Shanelin, flavonoids or flavanols reduce the oxidative stress or the free radical damage on your cells, and especially in the cardiovascular system. So also, if you get flavanols, enough of them, you won't age as quickly. You'll look younger longer. So how do you know if you're depleted in your flavanols? Well, research indicates that if you bruise pretty easily, or have frequent colds or infections, or you get your nose bleeds, or if you swell a lot when you do get injured, you could be low on flavanols and probably you're not eating enough fruits and vegetables. Well, and according to the research that was done in 06 that was published in the Journal of Neurology, flavanols in your fruits and vegetables reduce the risk of cognitive decline, dementia, and Alzheimer's in the elderly, but you have to have 4 servings of fruits and vegetables a day to prevent that. So what may be helpful is to determine how much fruits and vegetables you're lacking, and you can find out that by going to a fruit and vegetable calculator, which is based on your calorie consumption, your age, your sex, your activity level. So example, if you're a 53-year-old female who exercises about 30 to 60 minutes a day, you're going to need 1.5 cups of fruit and 2.5 cups of vegetables per day. Now, if you want to look for the fruit and vegetable calculator, guess who has it? It's on the CDC.gov website under their nutrition category. So you can look for it there. So, I mean, you know, it's proactive stuff. So some of the foods you might want to consider with good sources of flavanols in your fruits are apples, apricots, blueberries, pears, raspberries, strawberries. Other sources you might consider are black beans, cabbage, onions, garlic, pinto beans, spinach, tomatoes. You're also going to find flavanols in dark chocolate or cocoa. So these types of foods will have this higher concentration, like 100 milligrams per ounce of these flavanols. And they're also called anthocyanins. So green and white tea will have like 1,000 milligrams of flavanols per cup. And the reason is the tea leaves are dried right away instead of fermented as like in black tea or oolong tea is. And so this contains less tannic acid, the green tea. And medical research indicates it's difficult to overdose on flavanols, even if you're pregnant. So you're safe there. Here's some herbs with flavanol power. Research done on hawthorn berries discovered that it helps prevent congestive heart failure and angina, but it also has antioxidant photochemicals or phytochemicals, including your flavonoids called quercetin. So according to their research, German studies of 1983 and 93 think that quercetin may be responsible for improving vascular function. It dilates the blood vessels, reduces systolic or diastolic blood pressure problems, and the risk of plaque buildup. So if you want some zesty flavanols, go for your hot peppers like your jalapenos or your habaneros. Really is a superfood of flavanols in there. So you can add those to other foods and double up or magnify your antioxidant flavanol action there and get in more vitamin C in your system. So if you're looking for a lot of the flavanols, they're also in your food groups and, of course, your herbs. Contact the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you a free product catalog, and you'll have a lot of immune-boosting formulas this cold and winter, this flu season, this fall, that will protect you and heighten your immune system. So give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, or visit them on the web at thepowerherbs.com. It's where your healthcare options just became endless. You'll be so empowered, you will be amazed. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.